In this very first episode of our Regards Croisées series, we are honoured to shine the spotlight on one of Bordeaux's most emblematic estates, the prestigious Château Lafite Rothschild. In a captivating conversation, we'll cross paths with Alexandre Mar, wine journalist and founder of AMR Selection, and our sales team from Roland Coiffe and Associés. This dialogue takes place in a convivial atmosphere around an exceptional tasting of four carefully selected vintages, Carouades de Lafite 2018 and 2010, Château Lafite Rothschild 2016 and 2005. The aim of Regards Croisées is to offer an enriching exploration of terroir, vintages and the soul of wines through the vision of experts and enthusiasts. This first episode perfectly illustrates the elegance and uniqueness of Lafite, a Premier Cru Classé that fascinates with its restraint, balance, and ability to endure the decades. Alexandre, what's your general view of Château Lafite Rothschild?
Of all the Premier Cru Classé, Lafite always has one advantage in any vintage. It has a moderate alcohol content. That's a great advantage in today's climate change context.
Why do you find this advantageous? Are today's consumers sensitive to alcohol levels in wine?
When the terroir is too early, the grapes risk being affected by overripeness. These wines, as sometimes in the 2015 vintage, don't hold up, or at least not on the long road. They can be kept for 10 years, but beyond that, they risk going in another direction. But Lafite, thanks to its exceptional terroir, achieves optimum ripeness with relatively modest alcohol levels. In a hot, sunny, very dry vintage like 2022 or 2020, the alcohol levels at Lafite were lower than those of other wines in that vintage. That's my first general point about Lafite. My second point is that Lafite is never opulent.
Yes, I totally agree with you. It's a pure expression of Cabernet Sauvignon, which at first glance is rather restrained.
On the surface, it's never super bright. If you taste Lafite too quickly and compare it with other wines from around the world that are strong, muscular, and have a very high phenolic maturity, Lafite will of course be less opulent than those wines. That's why I'm against doing blind tastings between Cabernet Sauvignon from warm climates and Lafite, because they're incomparable. We can't compare Sophie Marceau and Marilyn Monroe. It's hard to say who's more beautiful. Everyone has their own preference.
Yes, I'll always remember that the exceptional Paul Pontalier, general manager of Chateau Margaux, who passed away in March 2016, said to me at the start of my career, "In Bordeaux, we produce wines that should be savoured sitting around the table. We don't produce competition wines."
Yes, I totally agree. Lafite is a wine that keeps a certain distance. If you're patient, Lafite opens up over time.
Do you think that thanks to this restraint and distance in its youth, Lafite can age remarkably well?
Not only that, thanks to this restraint, Château Lafite Rothschild makes us dream. Every time we open a bottle, we wonder what this wine has in store for us in the future. A great wine should never reveal too much immediately. It must always retain a potential, a richness, and a substance that reveals itself over time. It shouldn't wake up all at once. Since 2018, Bordeaux wines have become more approachable in their youth. They are easier to understand than before, without losing their breed and identity. When I taste a wine today, I often say to myself that it's good now and will certainly be good in the future. When you taste older vintages of Lafite, like the 2010 I tasted recently, you feel a grande classe style. It's well detailed, with very refined touches, and it has the controlled power of the Grand Pauillacs. Lafite has a natural charm. Nevertheless, in terms of fruit expression, Lafite 2010 is less expressive than more recent vintages.
We tasted four wines, including two vintages of Carouades de Lafite 2018 and 2010, and two vintages of Lafite Rothschild 2016 and 2005. It is often noted that there is a distinct style of Carouades de Lafite before and after 2014. Thanks to a strict selection process implemented by technical director Eric Kohler, production of Carouades de Lafite has fallen by over 50%. What do you think of Carouades de Lafite 2018, which is known as a sunny vintage?
It's fair to say that recent Carouades vintages are becoming increasingly qualitatives. The 2018 is a good example. It's an opulent vintage overall. What I particularly like about the 2018 Carouades is that it expresses the characteristics of the vintage with great phenolic ripeness, expressive fruit, a little vigorous, but all the while retaining the same framework as Lafitte. With its notes of graphite and pine cones, these are the elements that give us a foundation and confidence. We know that this wine is built to last. That's very encouraging, even if it's a style influenced by climate change.
Then we tasted Carawarde's 2010 vintage, a vintage from before the changes that have been put in place. How did you find it?
When I smelled and tasted the wine, I immediately said to myself, this is Lafitte. It has kept all the family's identities. Compared to other Carawarde's vintages, the 2010 has more concentration and structure.
Yes, it also has more earthy aromas.
Yes, we can mention some leather notes, but for me, this wine has no problem. These earthy aromas give me more freshness and density on the finish. When smelled it, I immediately thought, this wine is a reference. It perfectly embodies the style of the 2000s and demonstrates great cellaring capacity. This vintage is an excellent example. On the finish, there's once again that pencil lead note that I often find in great wines. There's a lot of it in the 2010, unlike 2018, when it was less present. This Carawarde's 2010 really has the allure of a Grand Vin.
Perhaps this means that the 2018 is more marked by the style of the vintage, whereas the 2010 has better preserved the Lafitte style.
Yes, absolutely.
Chateau Lafitte Rothschild brought us two very fine vintages, 2005 and 2016. We started with the 2016 vintage. Everything was almost perfect during that year's vegetation cycle. Pauillac received some welcome rain in mid-September, as the summer was dry and hot. The ripeness of the grapes was ideal at harvest time. What did you think of the vintage?
I still remember the 2016 Premier tasting very well. There were a lot of good wines. At first glance, I thought it wasn't a typical Bordeaux vintage. On the palate, it didn't have the Bordeaux style I usually recognize. It had much more tension than usual. If I had to compare it to a person again, the 2016 has the physique of a long-distance runner, rather than a boxer. It's like a tall person with lanky muscles. The 2016 is bursting with energy, but sometimes I wonder when it will really enter the race and when it will fully express its identity. Maybe I'll have to wait until my hair turns gray because this Lafitte 2016 is still very young. It's fabulous. It's one of the best Lafitte vintages I've ever tasted. It might even surpass the 2010.
2010 is perhaps a little more austere.
For me, it's more woody. The 2016 presents itself more naturally while retaining the true identity of Lafitte with the presence of the vintage, which was warm.
The 2016 has perfect balance, but it's still a bit in its straitjacket.
Yes, it still has enormous potential. You could say that this 2016 will never age. I'd love to taste this wine again when my son, born in 2024, grows up.
After this great 2016, Chateau Lafitte Rothschild spoiled us with a 2005. I was a little apprehensive because at the time, I had bought quite a few magnums at the Primeur. But I had found that this vintage had remained closed for a very long time. However, I was blown away by this Lafitte 2005.
On the palate, the wine is fantastic. It offers a hint of black ink that gradually melts away, bringing a creamy, unctuous texture, while retaining plenty of finesse, richness, and complexity. It has a fabulous mouthfeel. As for the nose, compared to the 2016, the 2016 is like a diamond, illuminated by the sun with many rays of light passing through the wine. But the 2005 is like entering a historic chateau. As soon as you step inside, you feel that authentic plush atmosphere. This is Bordeaux class. The palate is better than the nose. The nose is dominated by notes of cold chimney, licorice, and lots of spices.
Is the 2005 a little too old school for you? I also really like this style. I simply compare it to the 2016. When I talk about Bordeaux from the 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000, and after 2018, each era has its own identity. Understanding the different
identities of these periods is a bit like reading a book. You have to turn the pages to start a new chapter. When all the chapters have been brought together, a great story has been written. Bordeaux is that great book, and each vintage is a unique chapter in it.
Even if the 2005 had an impressive finish.
Yes, it was quite hairy on the palate. It was like cashmere.
Is there anything else you'd like to add to this interview?
If we're talking about Bordeaux, and specifically Grand Cru, I think it's essential to talk more about Bordeaux terroir, especially for the new generation. It's too often forgotten. We can discuss blends and different types of soil, but above all, we need to talk about terroir, which also includes the influence of man. In other words, when we talk about the Grand Cru of Bordeaux, we need to talk about the DNA of each wine. For example, if I want to enjoy an exciting wine with an expressive nose, I think of Palmer. If you're looking for a sustained, dreamy wine, I think Brenère du Cru. If you're looking for a powerful, energetic wine with great aging potential, you might choose Montrose. If we talk to consumers in this way, Bordeaux will have a brighter future.
I have one last question. This summer, you did a long tour of China, your native country. How do you judge the current market in China?
Due to the impact of the global economy, the Chinese market has recently performed rather lacklusterly. However, during my latest AMA selection tours, I still saw some positive signs. Firstly, there are still genuine wine consumers whose consumption is tending towards rationality rather than abandonment. Secondly, consumers' desire to acquire knowledge about wine has clearly increased. So while everyone talks about the weakness of the market, it's actually a good time to strengthen the link with consumers. Because those who continue to enjoy wine today will become the driving force behind tomorrow's wine market.
That's a very good development.
Yes, participants in my tastings have very often said to me, "This is a wine I really like, but where can I buy it?" I think that's one of my missions as a wine critic. I pass on what I see and smell to the consumer. There's a real interaction between us.
Would you say that education is essential? And that Bordeaux's real strength lies in its ability to offer a wide variety of wines.
A mature market is first and foremost characterized by a large number of wine lovers and loyal consumers. The most effective way to turn someone into a true wine lover is to arouse a genuine interest in wine and encourage them to spend time exploring it. But how do you capture the attention of consumers? In my opinion, wine education is essential. I've been working in wine education in China and France for almost 10 years, and I've seen many people go from total ignorance to becoming loyal consumers of fine wines. The uniqueness of the Chinese market highlights the importance of education, and I think it's an area that many chateaus and négociants should be focusing on in the coming years.